Last night, we went to hear and see the Big Bang. That's Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. Last night, we went to the casino, the gambling joint, to see the Big Bang. It was the night of the 4th of July firecracker and stuff that's going off, you know, rockets and various other things. Very nicely done. And then they had a group of dancing girls. Well, the evening began, as most of our meditations did, as we drove from the campus to the casino. We were all saying, "This car is surrounded by our pure white light of love. All its ways are peace, and all its paths are pleasantness." And as we said this, we were filled with a certain confidence and a certain peace and goodness, you know. Yes. And in the process, we arrived, and we had a perfect parking place. They shifted us around and around. They wouldn't let us park far away from the casino. They made us park right next to it, as it ended up. And we had the perfect place. And as we parked, we got out of the car, and we said, "Where shall we go?" And I said, "Let's go to the front entrance. Usually the front entrance is where things are at." And Alan says, "Well, what time will it begin? And where will it begin? Where will the fireworks be shot off? Where will..." I said, "Ellen, ask God." So she went over to one of the policemen there and asked him. And in the process of going to the policeman and asking him, we had two children with us. One was 16 and one was 19. And the cop looked at the kids and he says, "You can't go in the casino, you're too young." But he only said it to one. He said it to the 19-year-old, not the 16.
Because she was so beautiful.
And he said it to the 19-year-old because she was dressed like a teenager. Very charming, very, very sophisticated for America. Or maybe I haven't been around much lately, which is probably quite true, too. But her brother, he looks very blasé, you know. Piffle, 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 you know. And the guard said nothing to him. And he could have walked in and taken over the gambling joint if he wanted to. But he stayed with us as a gentleman. And so we said, "Well, we'd like to go to the restaurant." And the officer said, "Of course you can do that." Well, to get to the restaurant, you got to go through the whole casino. I mean, they got you programmed, so anywhere you walk around there, you have to go by all their gambling devices. Well, we weren't judging the goodness or badness of the gambling devices. We were just curious of all the things that they had. And as we walked through the casino, we saw all these people sitting there throwing money into little boxes that were not going to give them anything back. And they just threw it in and threw it in, and they took it out of their pockets and put it in there. And I thought, well, that's very interesting, you know. That's a beautiful psychology. The churches should have a psychology of that, you know. You take it out of your pocket and put it in the offering plate, you know. But somehow the churches feel that they can't do that. Now, the gambling joint, they don't. The gambling joint makes you a promise. Somebody, somewhere among the thousands of people who put money in may win. And it may be small or it may be big. And if you win and you win back, say, $20 and you have put in $100, wow, you think it's so great to win $20 on an investment of $100. And now, I tell you, it takes quite a bit of consciousness to do that. You have to have a lot of abandon in you, a lot of adventure in playing the game. And this is what people do. And it's okay. Okay, now, what's this got to do with meditation? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Well, we went through the casino, and we went to the restaurant, and we were going to buy some coffee and sit and drink it together. And they said, "There's a 30-minute wait." Well, the fireworks were going to go on in 30 minutes, and we didn't want to tie ourselves up inside. So we went to the little store they had. Sylvia says, they got the store. Let's go to the store. We can buy something at the store. Sylvia just loves to spend money. So we went to the store. And as we came in the store, the guard was there. And I was thinking, isn't he going to let us go in the store? And he just looked at all of us and smiled and said, hello, good evening, have a nice evening. You know, he was real pleasant, and he didn't think a thing about anything. So we went into the store. And, of course, Martino looked at the sunglasses. You call them their lids or something like that, you know. And he looked at them, and he said, some pretty nice goggles here, you know.
Nice.
And so we bought I bought some white Lipton's tea, which is quite good. And they each bought something of that same thing. And then I bought a bag of hot Doritos. And so he says, they're hot, Herb. You want them hot? I said, well, that's all they got, I think. So she went back and checked, and that was all they had. Then she looked at it, and she says, it's like hot. And then I asked the girl at the counter, who was waiting on us, and waited for her to come, and she says, no, they're not hot. And so we took them outside, a big bag. And we went outside, and there was one table in a little picnic area that wasn't used. The other tables were filled with children and their parents and just playing soccer and all sorts of... A little kid, maybe 2.5 years old, playing soccer. Beautiful. Just terrific. Wow. Well, he's going to be a soccer player. Well, anyhow, we sat at that table, and we talked, and we passed the bag of Doritos around, and a few people in our group said, I don't want any. I don't want any. And they tasted it, and they had to keep going back, eating more and more Doritos. Until finally, there was only chips left in the bag. And so we gave that to our princess, Miss Enns, yes. And what did she do? Beatrice Enns said, thank you very much. And she poured them in her hand, ate them, and took the bag and threw it in the trash so nobody would know that she had them. And so we sat there. And then all of a sudden, it was 9:15. And a big skyrocket went up, and bang, it went. And all was silent. It was the most wonderful meditative silence you could ever imagine. Bang, it got your attention, and everybody's looking up, and then they're thinking, peace, love. Well, what followed was not really peace, love, and silence, but beauty and imagination. For 15 minutes or better, maybe 18 minutes, 15 minutes, they shot off fireworks that went up into the sky hundreds of feet. And when they went up there, they spread out into great flares, into great double, double, double banging, triple banging, quadruple banging flares, just glorious. And then there was like a waterfall that was coming up and an ushering of white water, but it was fireworks that was shooting right out of a special design thing. It was imaginative and beautiful. And each one of us sat there in our own meditation. And we said to ourselves, how beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful, how lovely. We didn't notice any people around us. We didn't notice the thousands of people who had gathered there for the event at the Golden Acorn Cathedral, and it was quite an experience. But we had walked to this perfect park bench, which was in a perfect location to see it. It was all right before us, and we sat there, and nobody crowded in. Everybody was crowding to stand in front of the casino, thinking that was the best place to see it. Well, it was a good place, I'm sure. But our place was wonderful because we could sit, relax, lean back against the bench, and just have ourselves a relaxing, wonderful time. Now, you see, when you go into meditation, at least when I go into meditation, I want to forget everything else. I want to forget only what I'm meditating about. And what I'm meditating about is what my heart's telling me, what my thoughts are telling me. And when I watched the fireworks, what did my thoughts tell me? It's beautiful. It's imaginative. How did they do that? How did they arrange those fireworks? They go bing, 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 bang, bang, whoop, whoop, and take, go off, shoot way up like great big snakes climbing into the sky. And with one of them had maybe 50 snakes going this way, that way, up into a flaming light that kept on flaming. It was really imaginative and beautiful. And I stopped thinking after a while of how do they do that. And I just sat in delight of that they did that. Pure delight they did it. Now, as God spoke his word at the end of creation, he said, this is good and very good. So we look at things in our life and we say, this is good and very good. And this is how, when we want to meditate, if we will look at what we want to meditate about and call it good and very good, then we will feel so content within ourselves. We'll feel so peaceful, so at ease, that we will meditate most effectively. Much of our meditation is, you know, down the drain because we let other things distract us. Now, what distracted you while you watched the fireworks last night? Not very much. You didn't watch the little boy kicking the soccer ball around because he wasn't kicking it. His parents were holding on to him so they didn't have to watch him while they watched the fireworks, because they didn't want him getting out in the parking lot and having a problem. So they hung on to him. See, they made sure that their opportunity to see the fireworks, which they came there for, was stable and secure. And it was just beautiful. And then at the table next to us, there was a family who had their little lights and their little shiners and so forth. And they were a very lovely family. But when they heard the last big boom, they thought, it's over. So they stood up and went to their car. And as soon as they went to their car, then all hell broke loose, all heaven broke loose, all light, bum 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 bum, all over. And as they were walking away, they turned around and they looked and they said, my golly sakes, we missed the whole thing. There's the finale of the music, the finale of it. And you see, we turn away too often in our meditation and we don't get the finale of our meditation, because we let ourselves be distracted by mundane, everyday things that we have to do. Go to the bathroom, we have to have a cup of coffee, we have to go to work, or whatever. If in our meditation, it can be like watching the fireworks, in a total concentration and a total attention, nothing else disturbs us, and just feel good, wow, wow, wow. All of you haven't had children, some of you have. And how did it feel when you saw your child take their first step? Wow, wow. And you called your husband or you called your wife or whatever. Hey, come, hey, she's taking her first step. Look, look, look. And you see, that's the emotion you want in the fireworks. Oh, look, 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 it's so beautiful. That's the emotion you want in your meditation. Oh, 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 you just feel so good inside yourself. You just feel, wow. And then you don't have to ask, when is your treatment done? When is your request, your prayer request fulfilled? When is your healing done? It's done right at that moment. Because that's what Jesus said to his people. He said to the man who was lying in his bed, and he said, do you believe you can be healed? Yes, Jesus. Then pick up your bed and get out of here. Go. The man picked up his bed and went. He didn't realize that he couldn't do that. He no longer had the thought of the previous moment that he couldn't do that, he was sick. He picked up his bed and went. Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, hey buddy, come on. He said to the sisters, he's only sleeping, so the sisters could understand what's going on. But Lazarus, he didn't have to know that he was only sleeping, because he was sleeping either the long or the short sleep, whatever pleased him. And Jesus said, short sleep, okay. And did Lazarus come forth after 3 days stinking in the tomb? No. He was fresh as a daisy. Just fresh as a daisy. Did Jesus come naked out of the tomb? His covering that he had in the tomb was still there. What did Jesus wear? He wore a beautiful white robe when he came out. You see, we are always surrounded by who and what we are. And it's a fulfillment of everything. The resurrection is a fulfillment. The fulfillment of meditation is a fulfillment. The fulfillment of anything that we do is a fulfillment. Now, what is it you want to do? What goal do you have? Do you want to be the most wonderful person on the face of the earth? Or do you want to be the most fulfilled person on the face of the earth? And when you're the most fulfilled, you can be sure you are the most wonderful. Yes, watching fireworks can be distracting. And it is distracting. Your total attention is bang on those beautiful fireworks. And then, if you can think of that as meditation, if your meditation is so thrilling, so joyous, so magnificent, you only think of it as a completed thing. You don't anticipate the coming of the rocket. You see the glare of the rocket, and you say, wow, and the rocket's red glare, bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. It's a glorious thing. That's the Star-Spangled Banner of the United States. You see, there's so many things that are going on in this world that illumine us, that sparkle us, that wake us up to who we are. And that's the way to be. That's the way to be. When the rockets first started going off and Martina was sitting next to me, he looked up at that rocket and he put his head on my shoulder and he said, I like that. And that was very nice. Very nice. It just showed he was in a meditative mood. He was in a loving mood. He was in a receptive mood. And all of us were in a receptive mood. And that's beautiful. But you all couldn't put your head on my shoulder. Just Martino was privileged. Okay, think about that. Let your meditations be the most magnificent experiences of your life. And let them be fulfilled. And I shouldn't say let them be. And they are fulfilled as you have them be the most magnificent experience of your life. It's exciting. Wonderful. So, the finale of the program, we went by the front of the casino, and here they had a bunch of Polynesian women who were dressed in straw on the bottom and clamshells over their breast, and it was kind of charming. But as our group was saying, they had love handles and they had little tummies and they had they were just a little chubby. They weren't the beautiful teenage girls that may usually do the Polynesian dancing. But they were nice, and they enjoyed it. And as these girls danced with to the beat of the drum and the screech of the loudspeaker, as they danced, every one of them had a perpetual smile on their face. They looked at the audience and they shook their bottoms and they twisted their tops and they tried to be looking exciting and seductive and so forth. And all they were just charming girls playing a game. And it was beautiful. It's like you would look at a little child and the little child is out there doing a seductive dance. Well, it's not very seductive, but it is the child's interpretation of it, you know. And you don't feel seductive. But now, when you do see it done properly, it could be very enhancing, very, very seductive, very beautiful. And, of course, this is how meditation is, too. When it is done perfectly, it is done great. Well, we walked again, And we looked over the crowd, and the crowd was standing around these dancing girls. No one could see. So we went to the area where the girls go in and out. And we stood there, and the guard says, you can't stand here. And so we stood there, and we watched, you know. And I figured if he wanted to push us away, he'd push us away. And he didn't. He merely had to say it, and then he had to do whatever he did. And so we stood there with a right straight down a little alley, and we could see right into the dancing girls, and it was very charming. So, you see, when you put a cause in motion that you're going to have the perfect place, and you don't listen to anybody else, as Sylvie said, turn here! And I went straight ahead, you know. And Ellen said, where are you going? And I went straight ahead. You see, there can only be one boss. And that was me behind the wheel. That was me of the whole thing, actually. Because I said, that's our table, that's our place. Sylvia thought she was leading us to the place where the food was, and she did. Ellen thought she was leading us to this and that and taking care of the details, and she did. But my hand was always there, lovingly patting them on the head and saying, my good and faithful servants. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
Love you, love you, love you.
I'm not really trying to be super than anybody else. It just happens that way.
That's just